Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello, and welcome back to the You Up Podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Freed. It is such a pleasure to be here, Jordana. I mean, the streets be talking.
The streets are talking. The word is out.
It's out.
The podcast is here.
The toothpaste is out of the toothpaste tube. Is that what they say? That sounded weird when I said it.
Yeah, I had a weird image.
Toothpaste tube isn't what you say. What do you say?
The tube.
The tube?
Yeah.
What I mean is people are listening to
word
this podcast.
Is out.
And that doesn't mean it's over. Listen, I'm not satisfied. Papa JT's still hungry. Okay? And he wants his listeners. So you got to keep spreading the word. It's not over yet. Make it your Instagram story. Keep pushing people because we understand. I'm not a podcast person.
Right.
Oh, you're behind. You're a loser. Okay, get
we
with the
know.
Times.
We know what's going
we
on.
We know. It's them just protecting themselves from feeling stupid for being out of the loop. So let people know. Let people know that are single, in relationships, working on their relationships, married. I have people that come up to me.
All walks of life.
All walks of life. Dogs, cats, they're all coming up to me.
Can always learn something new.
Always can learn something new. And also, this is a funny, fun pot. We think it's funny.
Right.
We're talking about, you know, sometimes heavy, sometimes light stuff, but we're trying to put a, you know,
we're
a positive spin.
We're taking the edge off of dating.
That's why therapists are literally prescribing.
Yes.
This is you might need to get scripts to listen to this.
You're the only one thinking these things, but we will tell you.
You ain't alone, baby.
You're not.
So you listen, but also we're super appreciative of everyone that's listening now. The numbers keep going up, in an insane way. I don't think there's anybody growing like this one is. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And,
thank you.
I've been meeting a lot of you. I was just in San Antonio, met a lot of fans. Like people are like,
they're coming out.
They're coming out. They
want the world to know.
They want the world to know. You up. The uppers are out there.
Indeed.
So, I'm also going to be, if you're listening right now, it's, August 22nd and 23rd, I'm in Nashville at Zany's. So if you're in the area, come on out. I'm doing a podcast and a live stand-up show. The 23rd will be stand-up. That will be fun. Mm-hmm. So come, bring the crew. And next week, we have our live New York podcast.
Yeah.
And
we're excited. Yeah, you guys should send us in some either your dating app makeovers. Send us an email to uup@badges.com. Let us know what show you're attending.
Yep.
And for deal reveal, because I've gotten a few, so I think it's a little unclear. Deal reveal is the old douche detective. So send us screenshots of your texts so we can know, so we can help you interpret them.
The whole idea of deal reveal, and that's probably the most vulnerable because the dating app makeovers, we all laugh together and we're looking to be positive. The deal reveal is you showing us a conversation you're currently going through,
right?
Or that has just ended, that you're wondering what the hell is happening.
Yeah.
And we are going to go, you know, Jordana and I do a little role play. We play out your text and then we comment on it and we sit there and we say, you know, what's going on? And we try and get inside the mind of these people texting you. So if you're out there and you're wondering what is going on, if you
we're
have
about
looked
to break
up to,
it down.
Yeah, we're going to break it down. If you've looked up to the heavens on a Sunday at brunch and you've gone, what is happening with this dude or chick? We want to read it. We want to work it out with you.
Right.
So that is coming up August 27th. If you want to get tickets, too bad, bitch.
Sold out. It sold out the first day. Sorry.
45 minutes. Next time. And we're going to have more live
next
shows.
Next time, which I've gotten a few requests for, we will announce the day that we're going to put them on sale first so that everyone could be prepared. People are like, oh, there's a show. I already missed the window.
Yeah.
Next time, we'll tell you before we put them on sale.
Absolutely. And you guys have a new book.
We do. It's called When's Happy Hour. It's coming out this October. Please go pre-order it. It's sold wherever books are sold. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it at Barnes & Noble.
Now, I know what it's about, but When's Happy Hour? What is the...
It's basically a guide to your career that's not like boring as shit. So if you're like me, you kind of hate career books because sure. they're like boring and like no one, I mean, like I find it like there's nothing worse than reading about how to write your resume or cover yeah. letter or
they're also like
interact with people at work.
They're also bullshitty. Right. They're also like Monday morning
fake motivational bullshit.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. you know, you got to grind, baby. And it's like, what the fuck does that mean? And exactly. you guys are doing it in a way.
We're trying to make it funny. We're trying to make it light. We're trying yeah. to make it so you can actually like learn something, but also you're not taking yourself so seriously.
In the way the Betches only know how.
We do our very best. So pre-order it now. Go to betches.co/WHH.
WHH.
Yes. Check it out.
Go for it. So get pre-ordered. Let's do the episode.
Let's do the episode. So I wanted to kick off the episode by talking about this book.
Now you texted me. Yeah. Let's talk about a book, and we know
you don't read.
Not a reader.
As we learned from the weird sexual encounter with the guy who reads, Jared yeah, yeah. does not have a bookshelf.
I'm fully against books.
So I have to say, I co-wrote a dating book a few years back with my co-founder.
Yeah.
And to do it, I read some other books for kind of like inspiration tips, whatever, all that stuff, and then like. This was one of the ones I came across.
And this was the one that you were like, this is the gold standard.
Right. This is a really, okay. The book is called Attached. It's by Amir Levine and Rachel Heller. They're like actual therapists.
Okay.
And
they're not like us. Yeah, they're not just talking out of their ass like we are.
One is an MD and one of them has like a master's in some psychotherapy shit. I don't really know exactly the credentials, but they're good.
There's letters after their names. Okay. Right. The letter after my name is, I just call myself Papa JT. Okay. So
JT
J-Train.
Like JK Rowling.
Yeah, that's me. I'm the douche of JT.
Free train.
Yeah.
So these people are actual therapists. And for me, you never read something and you're like, that's extremely me. Like I can, like, this is explaining everything that I do and that I don't know why I do it.
Absolutely. I read a meme about a fart once and that's how I felt.
Exactly.
I was like, oh, that's me.
Me too. Someone wrote this for me.
Yeah.
So basically to give you the premise of the book is that people have one of three or maybe four attachment styles. And that's something that's sort of ingrained in you that from when you're a kid, some of it's a little genetic, but a lot of it's about like the way, how responsive your mom was when you were a kid. So whether you grew up in like,
so this book is like your mom fucked up.
Kind of. But it's a little genetic.
This is how
it's not like a perfectly correlational thing, but like you're more likely, if your mom gave you like consistent attention when you were, or whoever your primary caregiver was,
yeah.
gave you a consistent attention and was like very responsive to your needs and very like made you feel very secure as like a baby, 2 year old, whatever,
yeah.
you're going to be securely attached. And that's 50% of the population.
Okay. I didn't know there were that many Jews. Okay.
Well, secure people feel comfortable with intimacy and they're usually like pretty warm and loving. So okay. they're usually not in the comedian pool.
No. Anyway. I come in here hugging myself every time to go tape. I'm just like, don't touch me. Yeah.
And then if your parent was like not really 100% there for you, they weren't like super responsive or they were like inconsistently responsive, like were kind of like responsive to you when they felt like it and not when they weren't. So you weren't really sure what was going on.
Yeah.
You become one of these two other attachment styles. And one of them is avoidant, which is where you like equate intimacy with a loss of independence and you try to minimize closeness.
Yeah.
So you're kind of always like when you're in a relationship or you're dating someone, you're always kind of trying to figure out ways to minimize the closeness. And when you feel like you're getting too close, you pull away.
Interesting. Okay.
And then anxious, which I am.
Okay.
After taking, there's a test in the book you can take to yeah. find out what you are. And anxious people are preoccupied with their relationship and they tend to worry about their partner's ability to love them back. And like, they have a very heightened awareness to like their partner's mood. And like, those are the people like me who are overanalyzing every text. They're
I feel like that's a lot of women I've come in contact
with.
It is. Yeah.
It is. And the most interesting thing about this book is that they find that the anxious people usually wind up dating the avoidant people. It's called the anxious avoidant trap.
Okay. So the people that are like, what the fuck is going on? Who is this person? Why don't they like me? I need them to like me. Are dating the people that are like, stay
relax,
away.
Like, this is going too fast.
Right. See, I just listening to the description of the three, like I'm in my head being like, you know, we all personalize. Mm-hmm. I'm not like, I would consider myself,
avoidant.
Secure in the beginning, okay. avoidant.
Well, the avoidant people are secure in the beginning, but then things get too intimate And they're like, I need more space. I need you to back up. And those are people who are more likely to say things like, all women are like this, all men are like that. It doesn't have to, sure. Not just men are avoidant. There are women who are avoidant too. There are men who are anxious.
I've definitely met women in my life who have been avoidant, and you can tell, like, they're just like, this is too much. But then I've had like people that are avoidant, and then all of a sudden they turn into the, like, can you switch?
Well, you can switch, but not like within the course of one a relationship can make you more a certain way. So if you're anxious, you should date a secure person, because if you don't, you're just going to perpetually be unhappy, which is why this, but usually the anxious people and the avoidant people wind up dating each other because basically they wind up dating each other because they both sort of like reaffirm what the other is like already thinking.
Interesting.
So the anxious person is like, this person's kind of leave me, this person's going to leave me. And then like tries to like cling on to the avoidant person. And the avoidant person's like, oh yeah, everyone like wants to just like be clinging on to me and I need to like get away.
Yeah.
Right. But the anxious person and the avoidant person should both be dating this 50% of the population who are secures.
Well, it's you know, like something like this sounds to me like there can only be one crazy in the relationship.
Well, yeah, like, that's kind of, you know what I mean?
Like
the
secures just sound like people that are like, yeah, I'm good with my life. I don't really need the ego stroke of 1,000 girls coming after me. I don't need to know if someone likes me. I'm pretty good on my own. Like it doesn't.
Well, they're just people. They're also like what it says, and I'm paraphrasing the book.
Yeah,
it's not me making this up. Is that the secure people kind of feel like it's my given that people are going to be like loving and nice and like respectful, right? And if they're not, it's not because of me, which is anxious people are like, they're like hyperanalyzing thing. What did I do to make this person go away? What did I do to make this person stop texting me or ghost me or do whatever? And the secure person, when this happens to everyone. It doesn't just happen to the anxious people. When it happens, the secure people are like, okay, I'm going to move on. Cause like, there's something wrong with this person. There's something wrong with me.
Well, that's also a lot of the advice that we've given out on this show, which is
in
like,
line with that.
Yeah. Which is basically like, you're you. It's, this isn't the person that's going to work out for you, but there'll be another person.
Right.
And I understand that.
You should be like interpreting someone's actions based on like, are they working for you? Not like, what am I doing to fit into this person like me?
Do you think this book, I mean, like for people at home listening, like we have a lot, we have everybody listening, anxious, secure, and avoidant. We have all those people listening right now. Does this book like tell you to like change into the secure person?
It gives you a lot of tips into how to change into the secure person. The best way, if you're dating a secure person, you become more secure.
Interesting.
Because like they basically like the whole idea behind attachment theory is that that dependency is like not a bad thing. Like a lot of people think of like being dependent on someone is like a bad thing. Self-reliance, independence is like the most important thing. Like be on your own. But that's not really the case. Like we're humans. We're social. We're like,
I say this all the
time.
We're
meant to be attached to people.
I used to go to these like weddings and like, you know, I'd be the single guy at the wedding.
Right.
So I prepare for it like the day before. And then like I would forget like cufflinks. And all my buddies would be like, oh, Freed does it again. Mr. Luke does it, not ready. Like, they would all give me shit.
Right.
But they were all in relationships.
So they have someone there watching them.
You've had a fucking person hucking you for a month about make sure you have the cufflinks. We're going to that wedding. Get the hotel. Do this. And I'm a single mom.
Right.
I'm only taking care of
two jobs just to put food on the table for yourself,
drinking for two,
right?
I'm saying like it was always
drinking for two. I love that.
It was always
imagine a pregnant woman wearing that shirt.
There's a Betches shirt. I don't know how it would go with people, but I think that's funny. Yeah, but I'm saying like it was a lot of times where, and then I read about this thing called like the shared brain.
Right.
Where like when you date with somebody, when you get into a relationship, there's information that you're storing in the person you're with's brain.
Right. When you get to know someone.
When you get to know someone. So like if you and your boyfriend, he's remembering things for you that you are like, that's his territory.
Right.
And like when people are like, well, I'm independent, I'm this. And it's like, nothing is black or white. Nothing is in
you got the other person's back.
The other person's back. And like, it's okay to give yourself to that, knowing that that's just a normal thing. I think like a lot of times with dating, and I think with this book, like when you're explaining it to me, it's like, yeah, it's okay to be you. And it's also okay to be like, yeah, I'm not good at everything.
Right.
I'm shitty at this one thing. Take a look in the mirror. I'm just not going to be the person that remembers the cufflinks. Right. I need to find someone
who's
yeah, who can be the storage bin for the shit I don't want to think about.
And also, like, another thing which even goes even deeper than the cufflinks is just someone to kind of like protect you against like the harms of the world, like a secure, like they describe, like, like what your mother should be as a child is like sort of like this safe haven, so you can go out and if your mom did a good job, she's like sort of,
this is so funny. Essentially, this is so funny that we're this someone might be listening to me like, mom fucked up.
She kind of did in some ways, but it's like my mom fucked shirt up. I mean, I'm like anxious as shit, but my mom, but like your mom is supposed to be like the secure base, and if you have like, because like I can now go play and like explore things and try new things and like be the best in my career or whatever it is I am, because I feel like there's like this secure anchor waiting for me. And the idea behind like a solid relationship is that that's really what it is. Like I can go out and do whatever and take risks and explore and do things because I know that like at the end of the day, there's like a base of someone who can come
to. So we all are just looking for our mom. Is there, what this book?
Well, you're looking for someone to like you said, kind of take care of you, but also not really just take care of you, but just to make you feel like they're always available to you, so you can feel secure to go out and take risks. It's not so that you could be clingy; it's so that you can feel like, okay, I don't have to worry about like my security.
I mean, all this like my mom, I have to like remind her that I'm 33 years old. Like I had, like there's moments in my life, you know, like my apartment gets hot. Mm-hmm. Every time I call her, she'll go, "Did you put the blinds down?" And I'm like, what if I didn't do, who, you know, this is like every time the blinds down. Then I'll say, I'm going to San Antonio. I don't know.
Rain. I've heard there's
a lot of weather.
There's a lot of weather there.
There's a lot of weather. And I'm like, okay. But it's interesting that like that'll never end.
Yeah.
That's just what it is. That's just, you know.
It's funny. My dad is more like that.
Really?
My mom is the opposite. If I had in college, my freshman year, I had a single. It's like
a single.
I had a single. I had no roommate freshman year.
Who does that?
I got off the wait list. Okay.
Okay.
I got into Cornell. I mean, like Andy Bernard. I got into Cornell off the wait list.
I got you. Okay. This makes more sense. So
I had my own room.
Hey, roommate. Right. Nobody.
My mom calls me in like February. She's like, "How's everything? How's your roommate?" I'm like, "Mom."
That.
In her defense, she has eight kids, so I get how she might.
I just like,
mom's like the complete hands off, total opposite.
I just like that your mom was like, "All right, this kid's in college, just going to college convo."
Yeah,
how's the roommate?
The stock,
how's Econ 101?
Yeah, exactly.
She just went into like the whole like, how are the prereqs?
Basically, didn't even cross her mind that I had never mentioned one and didn't have one. But it's funny how. Mom. Now I'm all anxious.
This would turn into the Blame My Mom podcast.
That's the episode.
Do you think, you know, like, can we realize these issues? Like you're talking about your mom in an open and honest way. Right. Have you seen this in yourself? And you're like, I'm the anxious person. But now you have a boyfriend. And you're like, give into it. Like, do you like have moments where you're like, you have to do strategies?
I think he's given me definitely like, this is one of the healthiest relationship I've been in. Not that it's perfect, because no relationship is, but what they say about this in this book is that a lot of the times these, again, like the anxious people don't really date secure people because they find them boring.
Wow.
They find that they're like, oh, like
that's truly fucked up.
He's like, oh, it's, I mean, but yeah, I think it's true. Cause like, I can think back to like other guys that I've dated who were just like consistently responsive and like nice and like, and like available. And I was just like, this guy is like, there's no drama here. I'm not like on this emotional roller coaster of like, did he text me? Did he not?
Well, it's interesting. Like, I mean, like not to be too graphic, but like, that's the difference between like, being wet and being not.
Right. Well, that's, you know, like, as a younger person, that was my idea. I like the, you know, sex is better when I'm not sure if they're going to call the next day.
Sure,
it's like so much more exciting.
We're jumping off the cliff.
Right. But the older you get, I think the more you're like, okay, this, it's kind of like why you're more likely to, your insurance rates are higher when you're under 25 because you're just more likely to drive recklessly. You're more likely to drive fast. You're more likely to like not give a shit.
Hilarious reason. Hilarious way to rationalize a walk of shame.
And then you get,
this
older.
Is why the insurance is I get it. I'm just acting how the insurance
it's
company
in my
thought.
Nature.
Yeah, you're walking home with your shoes in your hand. You're like, you know, State Farm knew it.
Right. But yeah, it's like kind of like the older you get, the more you're like reprioritizing. I think that's why a lot of people like.
Also, like what makes you hot gets different.
Right.
You go from like, oh, this guy never calls to like, this guy has a job he has to go to. Ooh, right. This is hot.
Right. Or this guy is like consistently available when I need him. Like that's like, that's like exciting.
Did you watch the Bachelorette finale?
I did.
So there was a scene where I tweeted about it, but it was, she said,
I liked your hair extensions tweet. I thought that was very funny.
Well, it was very noticeable.
Yeah.
Even to me, who doesn't know
terribly,
that.
Terribly. Yeah.
Awful.
I was like, if you noticed, it's not just me.
Yeah. It was out there. I mean, it looked like she was wearing like another thing, like whatever. So, but she said two things. She was like, you're the male version of me.
Right.
And then there was another thing I can't really remember, but
I remember you saying that
it was like, you're the male version of me. Not good.
Like maybe like in touch with your emotions or something.
Yeah. It was like, and then it's like, that's not good.
I thought that was like kind of fucked up. The thing that she said about like, what if our kid is sick? Like you're not going to be able to handle it.
Did she say that?
She was like, I was just worried that we were too similar, that like if there was a problem that arose, like a sick child or something, like it would like you, I didn't know how you would be like reacting, maybe because he's like
a fucked up way to
that's like a terrible version of honesty.
Well, it sucks to have to give an answer for why it ended to a national TV audience, because that's a bullshit answer. Like how he's gonna react to a sick kid, when he's gonna look at your sick kid and go, yeah, don't worry about it, kid. Like, he's gonna handle it.
I think that was her like impression of he's like too emotional. Was that what she was trying to say, or like not stable enough for her? Not like the strong, like reserved, stable guy.
She was just more into the other guy.
Yeah, she should have just said that.
She was just like, I really just want to be with a white nationalist.
In my heart of hearts, that's what it just came down to.
Yeah, that's really all I want.
I just felt like you were too lenient on immigration policy.
Yeah, this is not where I could be.
Exactly.
It was interesting to hear her be like, you know, to say these things that you would think are what attracts you. So, oh, they're like the male version of me. They're too in touch with their emotions. You're like, those were like not good. And it's like, and then it's like good is like, personality of a stool. It's like exactly. You don't like, know like what
quiet like. I don't know. I was not into her choice either.
I wasn't into her this whole season. She stunk. She was a pity pick. I mean, not to get into a different. This is on a whole other.
This
podcast.
Is a different podcast.
but it has to do with the idea that, you know, when you choose someone, you know, you have to realize when you're choosing for adventure.
Right.
When you're choosing for the right person, when you're choosing just to have anybody.
Right.
And I think a book like this and also taking the moment to just not say this is everyone else's fault but my own.
Right. And and like you said, like you were saying, like, what can you do to change? So apparently, like 1 in 4 people can change their attachment style over the course of like 4 years or something like that.
I mean, I realize with myself all the time, like, and I like.
Do you identify as any of these?
I think I identify as secure and
avoidant.
Avoidant, both of those at certain different
stages.
At different stages in the relationship, like there's people that I've been with that I'm like, I could see where it could have kept going, but I don't ever regret that it didn't keep going.
You're never like longing for someone from the past.
I don't really have
in a way that's larger than sex.
In a way that's larger, I don't. Right. I don't.
Because that's something that avoidant people tend to like. They sort of like idealize their exes.
Okay.
And they think of it's like they call it the phantom ex. Like
I know people like this.
Right. My ex was like so amazing. I can't believe like I let it. And then they're always comparing them to the person they're with now.
Yeah.
And they're very hypercritical of who they're with. Like the more intimate it becomes, the more like faults they see in their partner.
That's so tough to be in that relationship.
Right. Like, which is what those like really toxic relationships are usually these like anxious avoidant mixes where the person just kind of keeps trying to like they become like the anxious person becomes like a psychopath because they can't figure out how to like make this avoidant person more intimate and close with them.
Yeah. I mean, obviously this stuff is tough. That's why this podcast is here.
Right.
But it's also like, you know, I keep growing older single and I'm like, it's interesting as you get older, you're like, well, these are things that I do.
Right.
You know, like you get more and more like I once was like, I was thinking
this
about
is
I was
who
like,
I am.
This is, I was sitting once, I don't know if I've said this with you, but I was sitting once eating dinner with my headphones on, listening to a podcast. Mm-hmm. And because I, you know, not, I don't listen to this one. I mean, but no, I listen to a lot of podcasts. So right. But when I go to eat like alone, I'll put on a podcast and I'll just sit there. And I was sitting next to like a family, and like the dad was like helping the kid and the mom was helping the other kid. And they're all sitting there and I'm like, ugh, I can't believe I'm going to have to not wear headphones. At some point. God.
That's so funny. What I was thinking when you were saying that was like, that's so amazing. Like, what a team.
No, in my mind, I was like,
what a team.
How am I going to work out listening to my podcast during dinner?
Right.
With these fucking three idiots sitting there.
Oh my God. But it's so funny the way our brains work. I'm like, I just hope that's me one day.
I did. Well, that's the thing. There is a part of me that hopes that's me. But then another part of me, I'm like, I've already gotten used to this whole schedule. I can
just see your kids like not like tugging at your shirt. Like, yeah. Dad, please play with me.
Stop it. They're talking about fucking. I'll get you your soup. Hold on. Yeah. Come on.
It's almost done.
There's like 2 minutes left. They're doing a...
Write down this promo code. Yeah.
Exactly. You want to do some emails?
Let's do some emails.
Let's do it. UUP at Betches.com. UUP at Betches.com.
And if you want the book that I just mentioned, it's called Attached Again by Amir Levine and Rachel Heller.
And listen, I went and looked at stellar reviews. People love this book. I mean, the idea of just looking in the mirror and then being like, Mom, you fucked this up.
It's always fun. it's always fun to blame someone else for your issues.
But also understanding like you are you. That's what you are. Like there's a certain age where it's like, you're done, kid.
Right. And you gotta like learn, you gotta work with what you have and sort, and again, this book will tell you like good like ways to like effectively communicate so that you don't become a crazy person.
You can only self-improve so much.
Right.
I'm trying to like eat better and not drink. And I'm like, this is what I am. And your needs are your needs. Right. So like you know, it's okay to go, this is what it is. Mm-hmm. This is the bed that's been made. It's a little fucked up, but someone's gotta sleep in it.
Exactly.
And that's okay to say. And I think like a book like this and like with, you know, the conversation we just had, like with looking at it and going, oh, I relate to that. I don't know. There's some motivational people out there that bother me.
Right.
In like an out of body way, because it's like they're making money off of this. All they do is now the new motivational thing is where they'll use swear words. So now they're real.
Now they're cool. They drop the F-bomb.
Yeah. They're the Tony Robbins that your dad didn't know. You know, like, and it's like, dude, I get it.
Yeah.
You had rich parents and now you can go on Instagram and tell people how to fucking live their lives because you started with a pot of money. Right. You know, like it's okay.
No, but I agree. This book is not like that. These people aren't Instagram stars.
No, this is an MD.
Exactly. All right.
That's my favorite line.
If you like us kind of reading these other books, or I'll read them, I'll just explain them to Jared.
Yeah.
And you want us to do more of that kind of recommendation stuff, let us know. If you think you're bored as shit and you don't want us to do it, also let us know. That's UUP@betches.com.
Yeah, we'll listen to your shit. That's my favorite line from Meet the Parents. When the dad of the other guy's dad goes, MD. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, Dr. Bob.
Yeah, Dr. Bob. MD. It's exactly. My favorite line.
There's no better feeling than spinning around in a salon to see your hair looking absolutely perfect. But it feels impossible to keep up that same look at home. Thanks to Vegamore, sticking to my hair routine has never been easier, and I'm finally seeing the shinier, healthier looking hair I've always wanted. It's like I'm salon fresh every time. I have hair that is pretty thin and hard for me to grow, so I love the hair serum. I love that I can put it in wet hair or dry hair. It doesn't make my hair feel oily. It's a super lightweight serum. I just like the way it feels in my hair, and I love that I'm helping my hair to be healthier and I'm helping it to grow, which are two things I've struggled with for a long time. I am super pumped because I love, love, love these products. Vegamore products are 100% cruelty-free and are never formulated with potentially harmful chemicals like parabens or hormones. When it comes to seeing results, the key is consistency. For best results, use for a minimum of 3 months for visibly fuller, healthier, and thicker looking hair. When I sign up for a monthly subscription, I can get one bottle or three bottles sent. Plus, I save more and I never run low on the products I need to take care of my hair. Elevate your hair wellness routine this year with Vegamore. For a limited time, get 20% off your first subscription order by going to vegamore.com/UUP and use code UUP at checkout. That's VEGAMOUR.com/UUP, code UUP to save 20% on your first order. VEGAMOUR.com/UUP, code UUP.
You guys know I'm a huge fan of Skims, and with warmer weather coming, I recently tried out one of their t-shirts. Skims makes the best basics and foundations, so it's no surprise that it's the best fitting tee I've ever worn. Finding the perfect t-shirt can be such a challenge, whether it's the fit or the quality, but with Skims, they make the most flattering shirts for everyone. I love anything that Skims makes. They have like the most incredible material. I have the soft, smoothing, seamless t-shirt in Onyx. It is so amazing. It has like amazing versatility. I wear it to dress up. I wear it to dress down. I just wore it to the airport. It was like a great shirt to wear that was like super comfy on the plane, but also super flattering. And I also tried the cotton jersey t-shirt. As cotton t-shirts go, it is incredible. It's honestly like a step up for any other cotton t-shirt that I own. It hits me at all of the right places and it fits like a dream. Skims t-shirts are made with innovative technology while always keeping style and comfort in mind. From crop silhouettes to long sleeve layering tees, Skims has something for every fit and every body. Shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com, now available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
Let's do the weird sexual experience.
Let's do it.
Dear J Squared, my friend showed me your podcast on a road trip recently. I've been a huge fan ever since. I have a weird story about a sexual experience that I had, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. So I spent the summer interning in New York, but I didn't know a lot of people there, so I turned to Tinder to try and meet people. Okay. Can I stop the email right now?
Is that a bad idea?
That bothers me. Let's not. I think Tinder, Bumble, Hinge, whatever dating app you're going to go on.
Just own it.
Own it.
Own it.
Stop with the I'm here to meet people. These are the craziest people to me.
Right.
Not to thank you for writing in. But like these are the fucking assholes because
they're trying to say they're better than the regular people.
And this is what bothers me. And anytime you disagree with them, you would sound crazy.
Right.
Like if someone was like, yeah, I just went on Tinder to meet people. And you were like, that's not what it's for.
Just looking for friends.
Yeah, looking for friends. No. We are not here looking for friends. And it's I think all these dating apps. Yes, it's vague on what people are looking for. Fucking, relationship, anywhere in between, friends with, whatever that is. That's fine. Let it be vague, but let it be vague in the context of I'm here to find someone to French kiss.
Right.
At the very least. With tongue.
With tongue.
So just go on these apps.
Is that your bio?
That is my bio.
Looking for tongue.
looking for that tongue.
And maybe more.
that's what I say when I go into the Jewish deli. I'd like some tongue. That was a very inside joke. But I'm saying this bothers me. Do you ever see those bios that are like, just here for friends and maybe some more? And it's like, fuck off.
Like, no one wants your friendship.
No. I'm done.
Right.
I've made my friends. Exactly. I don't need more.
You don't have enough friends. You're like 28 years old.
Go to a fucking book club.
Right.
So, okay.
That's not what this is here for.
No, we're here to fuck. No. So I met a guy who was super handsome and wanted to meet up. We went on a few dates. Like, what's he think? Like, he's on these few dates thinking like, well, is this a friend? You know, like, I don't know.
I don't know. Do you think she put that in her bio?
I think anyone that says I turned to Tinder to try and meet people is...
I've seen
that bio before.
Not like date people, right?
I just hate that bio because it's a lie. And then you can't disagree with the lie because you're the asshole.
Right. You're starting shit then.
Well, you're the animal. Mm-hmm. They put you in the position to be the animal. Oh, you got everybody you meet, you got to fuck? No, that's not what I'm saying. I came on a dating app to meet people to try and fuck.
Right. So, we're just refining the bios.
Yeah. No. So I met a guy who was super handsome, wanted to meet up. We went on a few dates. And then one day after work, I was hanging out at his apartment when we started hooking up. One thing led to another. We were about to have sex. I was on top with my clothes off, but he still had his pants on. Okay, we're already weird.
Okay.
We were kissing, and then all of a sudden, he unzipped his pants strategically when I couldn't see down there because my face was up by his. I get it. He quickly put a condom on and I kept kissing him. But then I opened my eyes and when I heard him started. But then I opened my eyes when I heard him started making noises. It looked like he was having sex, but I didn't feel a thing down there. I was so confused and felt his body against mine, realized, oh my God, we are having sex.
Indeed.
Oh, that is sex. I started to panic because I couldn't feel his penis. What the fuck was happening right now? It lasted all of 10 seconds. Okay, let's not be judgy. Then he pulled his then he pulled his pants up back up while I was on top of him. Got out from under me, went to the bathroom. He left me in his bedroom with the door wide open, completely naked. His roommate was out there, so I had to run and close the door. Oh, he must have been in a rush. He came back in a minute or two later, acted completely normal. I asked if he was okay. That was weird, and he ran out in a hurry, leaving the door wide open. He acted like nothing was wrong, so I made up an excuse and left. Ooh, this sounds like the worst post-sex experience. Right? I honestly think he had a micropenis. That was so small, I couldn't even feel it.
Oh my God.
I feel like he was so embarrassed about it that he orchestrated the entire encounter so that I would never have to see it and so that it would never confirm its existence.
Like unicorn.
I almost saw the micropenis.
Voldemort.
I've experienced the micropenis. Yeah, this is. Oh, I thought I confirm felt its presence. I tried to take a picture, but it was too quick. I feel like it was a phantom penis that I never saw. I don't know if it even exists, but I was haunted by it for a daunting 10 seconds. He continued to text me after that, but it got weird fast. He started asking me for nudes. Yeah, he wants to fucking touch himself at home. I ended contact at that point, but I can't help but think he should tell women what's up down there and talk about it so he's not such a weirdo actually believing that I didn't notice he had a micropenis or just choosing to ignore it altogether. Excited to hear what you both think. Sincerely, haunted by the phantom penis.
I like the phantom penis.
I do like
that. As a name for this one.
The phantom penis?
Yes.
The phantom micro.
Sounds like a horror movie.
The phantom thimble?
Micro?
Yeah.
Do you know anyone with a micropenis?
I don't.
That has told you?
No one's told me.
Mm-hmm.
I know friends who have had friends. Okay. Like
why it's the Loch Ness.
Yeah, the micro penis is one of those things I didn't know. It is not talked about.
No one's taking a selfie with it.
To me, and I don't want to sound like, I don't want to offend people. Mm. Like, I hope this doesn't offend. To me, you should get a handicap sticker on the car if you have a micro penis. Just based on the importance of penis size in society and what that does and how you're brought up as a man and like it, you know, because have you seen a micro penis? Have you seen one?
No, have you?
I googled it.
What does it look like?
It's wild.
It's how micro is it?
I mean, Google right now. You need to while I vamp a little bit, you need to, and everyone right now. No, we have 400,000 people Googling micro penis.
I don't really want to see it, but I do want to see it.
That was kind
of
where
I Googled. I've dated a lot of Jews and I Googled like a penis with foreskin.
Oh, really?
No offense.
I've seen
the
penis
with
foreskin.
There's way more people with that than obviously the micro penis, but that was also a little traumatic for me.
We need. Let me see what you found. It's like it's a disability. Like
it looks like a baby's penis.
Yeah, it's wild. Right? And it's like I can't even believe that guy posed for that picture for science.
His face is cut off.
Like if they were, yeah, of course mine would be too.
I think it's like under 3 inches hard or something.
You know why I looked up micro penis? Because I was like, maybe I have one and I didn't even know it this whole time. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I feel like you would know. Right?
Well, I don't know what's micro to people. Right. What's big? What's small? We don't know.
Right.
The penis. This is a good discussion for us to have. Penis size.
Don't guys see each other penises like in the locker room or something?
You know, there's such a thing as a never nude.
Right.
People that just never get naked.
I only know about the one from Arrested Development.
Well, that's like a real thing. Like there was a guy in my fraternity, t-shirt with the towel on. It was as if he was like, you know.
He's modest.
I mean, I'm walking around. I grew up
You grew up in a naked house?
I'm in a naked house.
Okay.
My dad,
what does your mom do?
Penis everywhere. She's clothed. It's three boys.
Your dad can be, that's nice. That's the good thing about the same sex gender is you can be like more naked.
Yeah, when it's three, when it's my brother, my mom's seen it all. Like, I'm not like in my, you know, I'm 33. I'm not like going home and be like, around, naked time.
Think, oh, yeah, it's home for Thanksgiving. Yeah. So is penis.
Yeah, that would be a little weird. Right, but like at a certain age,
okay.
I mean, my dad.
I grew up in a very co-ed home. There was no nakedness.
None whatsoever.
Well, I mean, I have a lot of sisters, but I also have a lot of brothers. It's weird.
So no one, like, you haven't seen your brother naked?
No.
I don't even know. I know that's a weird question.
When I was like a very young child.
Yeah, in the bathtub.
Yeah.
But I mean, for me, like, naked was just like kind of like.
No, that makes sense.
Like, locker room.
Mm-hmm. You're like.
Towel over the shoulder.
Okay.
Like, I'm walking around. This is a locker room.
Yeah. I know girls like that too. I'm like, locker room. You're sharing a hotel room. Their boobs are just out.
What's interesting is I'm a big.
I respect it. I wish I like could do it. I'm just like a little. I just always feel a little weird.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, like, it's not like I'm not like the weird part is like I'm a naked person, but then I'm like there's moments like after sex. I said I'll put shorts on after sex because I'm just like it needs to be put away for a second. You know, right. I need a moment to itself. It's been through a lot. It's done a lot of work. You know, a minute and a half. That's a tough time. So but with the penis size thing. This micro penis thing, like it's like a new thing that has been out there. Have you heard of anyone hooking up with a guy with a micro penis?
Not like personally. I've only like
friend to friend. Stories. But this right. is yeah. this is the thing.
It's
this
the phantom,
is the phantom penis. We know they're out there. Like I wouldn't wish. Like if my kid had that, how would you like, deal?
I think.
How do you? Because the world
can
right
you still
now.
Have sex and like
this the, guy did.
You just let's, get let's someone assume. With a very small vagina.
I mean, you and would really have to be. That's a small vagina.
It's a small vagina. So that they could feel. I don't know. That's definitely tough. I don't think this guy. If this is what this guy has, I don't think he's dealing with it correctly.
I mean, this girl doesn't have a lot of empathy for him in the way
because she doesn't know, right?
I know the way it happened.
You might not be able to have a ton of one night stands if you have a micro penis. Your life might be drastically altered in that way, where you might have to get to know someone, trust them, and like any other kind of like weird negative thing in your life.
Yeah,
you might just have to like get to know someone, like have like a really actual like intimate relationship, and then tell them about this.
Well, this is why I called it a disability, because this person's life is different.
Right.
Like they have to, you know.
I mean, I used to say that about my like frizzy curly Jewish hair.
Yeah, you should get a sticker too.
Right.
Well, you should be able to park. these stickers need to be
my
given out a little more freely.
Frizzy,
yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Right?
You shouldn't have to walk all the way across the parking lot. And,
exactly.
You know, risk a,
it's a genetic thing. I don't
risk
know what
a Becca
say.
Sister situation.
Exactly.
But the thing is, I like this guy, like, let's say he's young and he's like, this was like, I'm never doing that again. Like, he's afforded a try at a one night stand.
Sure.
In whatever
in
way.
Which he can learn. Learn
that you're not in that game.
Right. Maybe he doesn't know he has. Oh, he must know because he
doesn't know.
He tried to hide it. Right.
Yeah, he knows. He's not happy with it. I mean,
but then why not just be, I think because people with disabilities or people who go through some shit are usually more like empathic and sensitive and like sweeter. This guy doesn't, he's asking for nudes. Like
listen,
you got something to deal with. Like let's deal with it. And that's not like cover it up and ask
have
for
you ever
a picture
seen a woman
boobs.
React to the idea of a micro penis?
I
it
think
is
if
horrifying.
I think if I was dating someone for a bit and I really liked them and they told me that, I could deal with it.
You could?
I think so. I think if I had grown to really like the person first and I felt like
women are not as mean. And listen, I'm here to say men are disgusting.
Right.
Micro penis is not one of those things. Women are like on like are a very understanding about.
Well, it's very societally stigmatized, but I'm sure like if you have it and you know the correct way to deal with it and like and you're a really great person, maybe it's made you more like empathic or sympathetic than the normal person or more down to earth or more whatever, like, and that's a quality that came from having some sort of setback, not unlike and many others. But there are plenty of women who date men with like erectile dysfunction,
sure,
or like other kind of sexual issues, or men who are paralyzed from the waist down have wives. Like
yeah.
That's not like a
I hear it. I think like even like I think those guys are given way more.
those guys get the sticker.
I think, yeah, those guys get the sticker one, and they're given way more of an opportunity than small penis guys. I think small penis guy doesn't get enough empathy from the other side. It's all, anytime you hear, and I listen, I'm not saying this without realizing how gross men are.
Okay.
And the way we talk about women. I'm saying that with full understanding about how men have been horrific animals.
Okay.
Understanding that. Okay, two wrongs don't make a right.
Right.
So for the guys with small penises, you hear women talk about like, never. Like, and they're open about it. Like, they're never like even the way this girl asked the question, he continued to text me, but it got weird fast. I didn't contact at that point, but I can't help but think he should tell all women what's down there. Yeah, he should wear Hester Prynne.
Right. He should have to stand by the highway with a sign that says, I had a micro penis and I didn't tell anyone.
Yeah, like, what's he supposed to do? Right. You know?
I'd get really good at that. I'd be like a very good boyfriend in other ways. Mm-hmm. And then, like, I think that there's plenty of girls who sex is not that important to them, or vaginal sex isn't that important to them, and they would be fine.
Listen,
just like any other kind of fucked up thing that you're dealing with.
Yeah, but you have to listen. When you lose your sight, you get better smell.
For a petite girl.
Yeah, petite girls. I feel for him because just the way she asked that question was like, he should tell women what's up down there. It's like, that is so personal.
Okay, I agree with that in the sense of like,
he shouldn't do it the way he did.
Right. He shouldn't just be like blindly trying to have sex with like random women and not telling them what the deal, like,
sure,
what the deal is.
The way he did it was wrong.
If you had sex with someone and they turned out to have a penis, wouldn't you want to know beforehand?
Yeah, like, I'd want to know.
It's like I'm saying, it's like, it's not the same.
How big?
But it's like,
no, but I,
it's not the same scenario, but it's kind of like if you're operating on a system that you know the person has no idea about and is not the norm, like, doesn't mean it's necessarily like a terrible thing. Just give them a heads up.
Well, then makes it less weird. Here's my other question. At what inch do you have to say something?
When it's, I don't know, isn't it like a medical thing, the micro penis?
Well,
if you're diagnosed as micro.
It's like, I guess it's like being a little person. Like, there's some sort of scientific. Right.
You don't have to like explain yourself if you're like a 5'4" guy, but you might if you're like 4'11". Yeah.
But that's self-explanatory. You see someone who's a little person and you're like, okay, I'm attracted or not attracted.
Right.
This is below the pants.
That's why I think that requires more disclosure.
But let's say this guy handled it in the only way that I could think to handle it. Like, okay, let's say they go back to his apartment and he's making out with her. And then all of a sudden he goes, listen, I got to stop this makeout. I just want to let you know, like, I have a micro penis. See, we can't even say it without laughing.
Well, so you're saying it. You're like smiling when you say it. So it's making it funnier. Right?
Listen.
This is why the micro penis guys won't say it, because we're laughing.
Because we're laughing. But I'm saying this is just
we're
natural.
We're adding to the stigma.
When you smell a steak, you salivate. When you talk about micro penis, it just goes into funny land for some reason.
If I'm him, I'm not having a ton of one night stands. I'm having more like relationships where I become comfortable enough with the person that I feel able to tell them those things.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting because it's like very sign of the times. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone thinks that they should have a fair everything.
Right. You know, I'm allowed to have a one night stand.
I don't care. I am who I am. No. It's like, no.
Maybe that's not like your lot in life. You're not.
Gonna, we all have our things. Yeah. You know?
You can have an intimate relationship.
I'm not going to be a 32 waist. You're not going to have a regular condom.
Right. You're going to have to get something smaller, dime bag.
See, this is stigmatizing.
I'm sorry. This isn't nice. No, it's so.
Listen, I'm making out and I go, so I gotta tell you something. A penis is kind of small. Like, how are you coming back to that?
I wouldn't tell them in the midst of a makeout. That's what I'm saying.
Like, you're doing it at drinks?
I'm not having sex if I have a micro penis and I'm a guy. I'm not trying to get laid every single time.
But let's say this guy's a secure in the attached. He's a secure guy.
Okay.
So he's in the secure group.
If he's a secure guy.
And he's like, this is what I am.
Right.
You either take it or leave it.
Fine.
You guys go for drinks. You have the best time.
Yeah.
You get out. And I'm like.
No, I'm telling him. Then I'm telling her over drinks. I'm going to say, hey, like, I'm having a really good time. This is where they're about to have sex.
I wouldn't have sex on the first date.
If I'm micro penis guy, I'm not having sex on the first date. On the third date, once I get this girl's, I already know she's into me. She likes
so
me.
So now you're on third date. Let's say we get to there.
I'm on the third date. I'm not wasting so much of your time that you're not interested. And like, I've also like trust you a little bit more than I do if I just met you on the first date.
Okay. Right? And I go, I have a small penis.
Right.
And then your next question is going to be how small?
Right.
Yeah.
And then you say, well, it's actually like, I have a condition. It's called a micropenis. I'm sure there's a more technological, whatever, medical term.
Well, he's going to say micropenis.
I'm sure there's a fucking medical term for it that doesn't, it's not micropenis. Yeah. Just like, I'm just sure there is.
I got an MP.
I'm going to explain.
Market price.
Yeah. If I'm secure, I'm going to say, this is what I have. Like, it's a little bit
it's
of a struggle.
Shrimp dick.
It's a little bit of a struggle for me. But I really like you. And like, I'm really interested. I get if you're not anymore, it's totally fine. I just want to let you know where I'm coming from, and I really liked you, and I'd love to be intimate with you, but I just wanted to give you a heads up so weren't like surprised.
And let me assure you, it's gonna be shocking. That's what I would always say that if I were him.
It looks like having sex. It looks like you'd be having sex with like a baby boy.
That is such an awful way to put it.
From the pictures, it kind of just looks like. Have you ever seen a baby boy?
I've seen a baby penis. I mean that could right. be. I hope no one cuts this up to make me sound like I'm fucking Jerry Sandusky.
I have nephews. Like I've been to a bris. That's kind of what it looks like with like probably I assume more hair.
If I was this dude, I would literally as I'm telling her about my micropenis, I'd be tying a straw in a knot with my tongue. And I go, it's going to be shocking. And then I would spit out the straw and I go,
I'm happy to help you in other ways.
But check out this double knot. Let's do some more emails.
Anyway, that's my advice to Phantom Micro Man.
Listen, right. Someone should be laughing on the treadmill right now from that conversation.
They should go for it.
Because I think I'm dying.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Let's do the next
one. Okay, let's do the next one.
UUP at Betches.com. UUP at Betches.com.
Hi, Jared and Jordana. My boss got me hooked on your show. Huge fan. A question for your
boss.
For your show. I've been dating this guy for 4 months now, and things have been going great. I got invited to one of our former coworkers. To my former coworker's wedding. We were really close friends at work. I was offered a plus one and decided to invite the guy I'm seeing. I don't know many other people at the wedding, so I didn't think it would be a high stress situation for him. For example, he isn't meeting my family or meeting my larger group of longtime friends. When I asked him 2 months before the wedding, he said, uh-oh. Is it oh-oh or oh-oh? And asked me for some time to think about it. And
let
eventually,
me tell the audience. She wrote oh-oh, but it should be, I would think it's
right?
I don't think he reacted.
Oh.
Both are not good.
Right. He asked for some time to think about it, and eventually he declined.
I don't think he reacted like Santa Claus.
Should I be worried about our relationship? Does he not see me as long-term relationship material? Sincerely, Laura.
To put it lightly, he doesn't.
You're saying def not? Or maybe could
well,
be
I have
too
a rule with weddings. I think what she's doing.
I don't go with someone I don't like that much. Is that your rule?
I don't go. Well, 2 months. She says a guy I've been seeing for 4 months now. So you
four months is a long time.
Yeah, but now you're extending the relationship by half to get to this wedding.
Okay, he could always back out though.
Guys won't. This is one of those. Birthdays,
right?
Breakups come before the birthday.
Okay,
same thing. We don't get into weddings that we don't know we're going to, because then you're in till the wedding. So right. If he says yes to this wedding, he's in till then. That's a 6 months now. They're in a relationship. Now he has a breakup. That's a 7 month breakup. That's a different breakup than a 4 month breakup. I mean,
so
I'm just
you think he's trying to get get out of this.
I think he's been still on an app. I think he's still out there.
He's not fully into this.
But
because if you are fully into something and someone invite, if you're dating someone for 4 months and they invite you to a wedding, you're like really excited about it.
Yeah, you're either in or you're out.
Right.
I don't think there's no in between.
Right.
I also have a rule for weddings. I don't know how you feel about this. If you're not in a relationship and it's not out there, you don't bring a plus one.
Even if it's a friend that you don't really know, you wouldn't know anyone.
I think it's a disrespectful thing to do.
They're giving you one.
I understand, but I say how you're feeling all the time, and I don't expect you to tell me how you're really feeling.
I don't know. I disagree. I think I would go. I think it's nice to give someone who doesn't know a ton of people. You're certainly not going to be hanging out with them because you're getting married. What are they supposed to come and just like be by themselves?
I think if you're single, you go being single.
Well, I think what she really wanted to do here was she likes this guy. She thought it'd be fun. She wanted to bring him. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, and
it's not like her whole family is going to be there or anything. Well, she's clearly not that interested.
But the low pressure, he isn't meeting my family or meeting a large group of friends, is she makes that the reason for why it would be fun for him to go.
Yeah.
But she's totally looking past the fact that this makes them more of a relationship no matter what. Like she's avoiding. Absolutely. If you go to a wedding with someone, you are in something.
You're going with them to. You're going as their date to a wedding.
2 months from now.
Right.
So,
This guy sounds. For me, I'm not dating anyone for 4 months that I don't want to date for 6 months. Maybe that's just me.
Well,
the anxious person.
Well, also he might have made that decision, and he might have made that decision that 6 months from now this won't be going on still.
Right. Well,
but now
this is a good heads up for her that's the way he feels.
Absolutely. I just think. If you're single, go to I'm saying this to anyone, like even back, let's say she's just single and she wanted to bring a friend or a guy she liked. I don't use that plus one. You're costing the person money. You have a really good opportunity to meet people that you wouldn't have met at this wedding. Go outside your comfort zone.
She doesn't want to meet people. She wants to date this guy.
Well, it's fucking over.
That goes back to her. Her question isn't like, what's the etiquette of bringing a plus one?
She's giving my etiquette.
She wants to bring a plus one.
I'm mad at her for bringing this guy.
If I was in her situation, I would ask the guy I was seeing for 4 months to come with me to a wedding and two. I would think that like, great. I don't know anyone. Like I'm having a good time with this guy. I see it going somewhere. This is actually a great thing for her to do to test that. To see.
I mean, she did right. I've been dating this guy for 4 months and things have been going great. Well,
right. Clearly not that great.
Surprise, bitch.
If I'm you, I'm dumping this guy and I'm dating a secure person. Find a guy who's looking for a relationship and is not playing games and like wants to and is in it to be with someone.
Here's the worst part about this. He asked for some time to think about it and eventually he declined. At that point, he declined the relationship.
Right.
He was
thinking about whether or not he wants to be with you
in two months.
Yeah.
So that is how you should have taken it. And don't make this small is kind of the point that we're both making, I think.
Right.
But like wedding invitations, like you should be thinking that through. You're going to hear some information that you might not want to hear.
Right. And that's indicative. That's giving you a symbol about in this book. Going back to the book, they talk about like smoking guns in a relationship or things that you should be wary of. And like one of those things is like the person's like giving you mixed signals.
Sure.
And this seems like it's going great. It's not going that great if he doesn't want to come to this wedding with you.
And he knows there's a picture.
And it's not because he has something else going on. It's because he doesn't want to do it.
He doesn't want to go with you.
Right. So if I'm you and
should I be worried about the relationship? Yeah.
One of the tips is in the book is effective communication. So what you should say to him is like he said no. And you could say, hey, like, it just wanted to know, like, is there a reason that you don't want to come with me? Are you feeling like give him an opening to tell you how he really feels. And like, you don't have to guess or jump to conclusions. You can be like, what's the deal? Like, do you see this being like a long-term thing or is this just more of a, and you don't have to make it seem like threatening. You could just be like,
sure.
I'm just wondering where your head's at.
It's not just the wedding.
Right.
That's the moral of the story.
It never is.
It's never just the wedding. It's not that he doesn't have a tux. It's not that whatever excuse a guy has or girl has, this goes both ways, for not coming with you to a wedding, it's because they have to make that decision that you want to be together 2 months from now. Because wedding dates don't just happen the week before.
That's true.
And they never, you're never just, hey, you should come to this wedding tomorrow.
You got RSVP.
You got RSVP. On time. You got to make sure that plate gets paid for.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's, they're making a decision about where they see themselves 2 months from now, not how they feel. You know,
not
you're,
they want to go to the wedding.
Yeah. I've heard a lot of excuses where girls are like, well, he's just not a dancer. And it's like, what?
Right. No, that's not the case.
That's not the case. He likes cocktail food. I think he'll be fine. Huh. UUP at Betches.com. Let's do one more email. We got time here.
Yeah, let's do it.
Dear Jared and Jordana, I had been seeing this guy for about 6 weeks and everything was going really well since we were both new to the area. We took things slow and finally slept together after about a month of seeing each other once a week. The same weekend after we did the deed, he had a trip planned for work and I was aware that for a few weeks prior. While he was out of town, I got a phone call from him, which was weird because we never spoke on the phone. And he, that's a fun moment when you're like, oh, I got to call this person that I've fucked, but never called them before. It's like, this can only be bad.
I don't think it wasn't bad, though.
Oh, I don't know. I'm just saying, like, if I got a call.
Or it's like now we're on the level where we can like FaceTime and chill.
I don't know if it works that way.
We're such opposites.
And he
here.
Was saying that he missed me and he was thinking about me. Later that
See?
Night.
That's oh, okay. so sweet.
So sweet. Later that night, he sent a picture of his dog, which isn't weird because we obsess over our dogs regularly.
Dog mom.
Oh, they sound exhausting. And in the background of the photo, I spotted his ex-girlfriend's dog.
Just goes to show how much we stalk people.
Or how stupid he is.
She spotted the ex-girlfriend's dog. I don't know what my ex's, people I'm dating ex's animals look like. But that's next level.
She has a lot of background information to make that call.
Yeah.
I brought it up over text later that night, regardless of how stalkerish I sounded.
That's good.
He replied practically begging me to let him explain himself. I told him he didn't owe me an explanation because we never discussed being exclusive. He insisted, and I let him explain. According to him, they were best friends for a while, tried dating, and he just didn't see himself long-term with her. He then broke it off, and they mutually decided they should remain friends. He allegedly chose to stay with her on the trip because stay with her. So he was staying with her.
His ex.
Okay. Because she helps out with his dog while he's at work and he doesn't have to spend money on a hotel. I gave him the hold on. He's there for work
and he had to bring his dog
and he has to pay for the hotel. That's another thing.
That's
that
you think he's bullshit.
I gave him the benefit of the doubt, although a huge part of me still didn't believe him. Once he was back, he insisted that I come over, but I shut that down quickly. I said we could grab dinner after work instead, and I chose a casual spot. At dinner, not one word was brought up about the incident or the elephant in the room, and I kind of thought he would apologize in person or at least explain the matter. Instead, it was awkward, uncomfortable, because neither of us wanted to bring it up. Then the waitress came and dropped the check off and sat it right down in front of me. I love how shocked she is.
I hate when waitresses do that.
We were amidst the conversation and I was waiting for him to ask me to pass it to him.
He didn't ask.
He had all that extra money from the not staying at a hotel.
I know, right?
And he didn't ask. The conversation began to end, so I went for the purse pump. Mm-hmm. She's the Michael Jordan of purse pump. Because I always tried to be polite. I love just how shocking it is that she might have to pay for this meal. Like that.
I think it's kind of shocking. This guy is the one who fucked up and like, he's not even like, he's not going for it.
I'm with you. It's just, it's the level of
almost like, slow. I guess funny. Cause she's like,
and he was just watching me at this point, in slow motion. I was opening my wallet, taking out my card. No,
I like know exactly what that's like.
Putting my card in the book.
Ahem.
Until I finally looked at him, attempting to hide my annoyance and blurted out, do you want to split it? There was no way I was buying his dinner this time. Oh, this time. So I mean, she might pay a lot. He jumped up as if he didn't realize what was going on and said, sure.
Ugh, this guy sounds terrible.
Mind you, this isn't the first time that he has let me pay for things. And this wasn't even 2 months in. Oh.
I know okay. The slow motion.
Well, now everything's starting to come together. I never pick expensive places. We had only gone out to dinner maybe 4 times at this point, not to mention my meal was significantly cheaper than his. I'm all for splitting costs with someone I'm in a committed relationship with, but in the beginning stages, am I wrong to expect to be treated to dinner? Boy, this took a different turn than I thought it was going to go.
This is like totally different thing from the original.
This isn't about dinner, bitch. as we walked to the parking lot, I was annoyed and completely turned off by the night's events, gave him a forced hug, got in my car, and ended it the next day. Jordana. Am I being too tough a critic? Jared, can you explain to me what this dude was thinking? Sincerely, confused and turned off listener. P.S. Love the podcast. I rave about you guys to all my friends. Thank you. There's a lot going on in this email.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was going to be about the fact that he went to his ex-girlfriend's. Because, okay, I see like her like extreme frustration. Because the first part is like, it's bad, but it's not necessarily a deal breaker because they're not like 100% dating. But sure. It's a very, very bad sign.
Yeah.
And then she's kind of like, why did, in her head, she's probably like, why did this guy even like want to go to dinner with me if he wasn't actually like trying to make it? Like, what was the point of him like
at first
trying to ask her for
when I first read this email, the beginning, I was like, oh, this is a classic guy who's still kind of with the girl.
He hasn't closed all. What do you call it when you close all the doors? Or you like wrap up all the old, the previous.
Yeah, it's cleaning? Just not. The house hasn't been cleaned.
Okay.
I don't know if I call it that, but.
I probably called it
something like that. But to me, as I got to the end of the email, I mean, do you know people that are so cheap that it's a disability for them?
I think
that this is what, going back to the whole disability thing, that if you're pissed off already, you're going to be pissed off again.
Right? What is the mentality of the super cheap
This guy's cheap.
I think it's like a little bit about being selfish.
Yeah.
And just like not really caring about how you appear to others.
To me, any addiction, because this guy's
addicted to being cheap. Is that a thing?
Any addiction is one that you'll do in the face of people you care about.
Okay.
So you will hurt people you love or like to do your addiction. This guy, I kind of believe him about the ex.
Oh, I didn't even think about the fact that he said he stayed with the ex to save money on the hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now she's going, and if this was a one-time thing where he didn't want to pay, I thought like, oh, he's kind of just like ending this thing.
Right. Doesn't give a shit.
He's trying to do it in a nice way. But then she writes, mind you, this isn't the first time that he's let me pay for things. This wasn't even 2 months in. This guy's a cheap fucking dude.
Right.
And he will do anything to be cheap, no matter how weird it gets for his significant other, whoever that may be.
Right. Because to him, above the most important thing is saving money.
Is saving money. Above the right. relationship, above respecting you to not stay with his ex.
Right.
And
this is almost, it's ironic that this was like supposed to be the makeup dinner and he instead.
He doesn't even know how. He thinks just being there is enough.
Right.
He doesn't think he has to apologize. He doesn't think he's to him. And I totally think this is all about him being cheap.
Even the thing with the ex.
To him, he's like, why would I apologize for saving money on not spending for a hotel room? Like, that's his rationale.
Right. Yeah.
And I got the dog. She takes care of the dog. I don't even have to pay for a dog person. I didn't think
of it as that issue, but you're right.
I didn't think of it as that until she talked about the payment thing. Because she, and also, she's writing us the email.
Right.
Her major issue isn't even the girl.
Right. It's that he's fucking cheap.
He's cheap.
Right.
And it's like, I don't think you're too, I think someone can be too cheap to date.
I agree.
I think anyone can have any problem that could be too much to date.
Right.
It doesn't matter. I'm not saying this is a cheapness thing. You could be crazy about anything.
Right. You're too into your dog.
There are people fucking couches. Have you ever seen My Strange Addiction?
Right.
You know, like if you ended up with someone on My Strange Addiction who fucked the car, and you came to your friends, I'm like, am I being too weird that they fuck a car? You'd be like, no.
I can't believe this. Get away from that person. I can't believe this guy just didn't offer to pay.
I can. He's willing to stay with an ex.
so he doesn't have to pay for someone to watch the dog.
On a work trip.
Right.
Where they'll probably pay anyways. Because he probably gets the extra cash when he doesn't stay in a hotel. He says, no, give me the extra $250 so I don't have to.
That is not cute.
Not cute.
I don't think she's being too tough of a critic at all.
I would be this way with a woman. Right. I think it goes male or female. If I notice this level of cheapdom in someone.
Right, that they're doing weird shit to deal to breaker save money. It's crazy. Yeah,
like he didn't even think, like, if I took a picture of my dog,
right, like someone who like brought a flask into like a restaurant, like,
yeah, this right. is the same thing.
Yeah.
And if I took a picture of my dog, I mean, I'm not saying that I'm a liar, but I would make sure that and I was staying with my ex and my ex's dog was in the background. I know someone's going to ask who that fucking dog is.
Right.
He's so cheap that it's the same thing as an alcoholic.
He's addicted to saving money.
Yes.
Good. He should be the poster boy for like Coupon Cabin or yeah. whatever the fuck that is.
He probably doesn't even know how to use a fucking coupon. He doesn't. If he knew, he would have had a Groupon on the date.
So she should think of this as like an easy way out.
You're out. I think also, like, when a lot of girls will be like, am I being too hard?
Right. That's an anxious thought as well. Right.
Well, you're not.
Right, no, it's like, am I doing something? Am I driving this person to act like this? Is it my fault? Am I being too critical?
Also,
like,
this is someone who liked me. Am I giving up good?
Right.
Because, my friends are like all in relationships. I think this happens to women a lot where they're like,
If I'm too picky, I'm going to wind up alone.
Right. Yeah, and to me, this isn't
right.
This is normal.
Yeah, and the thing to remember is that there's a ton of people that you could be like really compatible with out there, and that your needs are your needs, and your needs are for him to not be fucking cheap piece of shit.
And yeah, absolutely. And also, like, this is a nuanced thing. This is a gray topic. When do you pay? When does the other person pay? Purse pumps,
right?
You know, like all this stuff. It takes, and I think what we can all do is give someone chances.
Yeah,
I because she did. She said, "This isn't the first." Mind you, this isn't the first time that he's had to let me pay for
things. He's the one who had like kind of fucked up,
and he fucked up. He didn't apologize. Right. Yeah. He didn't even think that was an issue. And it's like, that's that person. And kind of to go back to what we talked about in the beginning, that's who they are.
Right.
That's their fucked up bed.
Yeah.
Do you want to sleep in it? You get the choice.
Right. And he doesn't even seem like particularly self-aware about it. Like, yeah,
oh no, he
I'm like really, really trying to save money. And like, I sometimes do weird things.
Yeah, of course I stay with my ex.
Right.
It saved me on the hotel.
That's what
room.
I'm saying. Like the not, and that's just what something secure people do is they take into consideration the person they're with's feelings. They don't feel like your feelings are your problem.
Yeah.
They feel like they take ownership of the person they're dating's like feelings. Like, how can I like help you?
Sure. And also this person this writing way. In, like, you tried.
Right.
You did take their feelings into account by going out again,
right, and by letting them explain and this girl sounds secure because she said to him right off the bat, like, hey, like, she didn't care if she sounded crazy.
Yeah,
hey, like, I know that that's your ex-girlfriend. She like did the exact right thing. Like, I know that this is what happened. I'm calling it out and I want to know what's going on.
It's interesting that like I yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry if I sound annoying. This book is actually is like now I'm interpreting all behaviors.
I think he sold a lot of books for Amir.
Yeah, well,
I think they.
He deserves it.
Amir and
Rachel
and Rachel. So we helped a couple Jews. Let's do some games.
Let's do it. They make frequent references to themselves as Mama or Papa in the third person.
Well, hold on. Red flag or deal breaker is like taking over this country right now.
It is.
People are writing to us being
they
like,
really want a list.
They want
one of these days.
We're going to put something out with all the red flag deal breakers.
We will.
But keep sending those in. A
lot of them are yours and they're really funny.
And
they're
I love the more specific, the better. The more real, the better. I don't want to hear, you know, poop their pants twice on a date. Like, I don't know. I only did that once. That's easy. So I like them specific. And okay, so let's do it.
Creative and original.
Let's do it. Right. Red flag or deal breaker.
They make frequent references to themselves as mama or papa in the third person. For example, mama's hungry or daddy needs a cocktail. I feel like you would do that.
I mean, I did it on this show. Didn't I call myself Papa JT? I mean,
but you don't do that in real life, do you?
No, but
you're on a date with a girl, you're like, daddy needs a cocktail.
Yeah, that's daddy needs his cocktail. Daddy needs his medicine.
Daddy needs a blowjob.
Yeah. I just think of how many times.
Once is a joke that's like kind of funny.
I mean, I'm the type who would do the joke so many times that it would go from funny to not funny, funny to back to funny. Funny again.
Okay.
So to me,
what if you're dating the girl and she's calling
and
herself
she's going,
mama
needs a cocktail.
Yeah.
I'm in. I can't. You're fine with it? I can't expect different than I would expect out of myself.
You're introducing her to like important industry people, and she's like, "Mama's got to go to the bathroom. I'll be back in a few minutes."
Here's the problem with Mama is that becomes at a later stage of life, everyone's calling her Mama,
right?
That's her nickname. Like, I don't think Papa's gonna catch on for me.
It has. I mean, Papa JT.
JT
Rowling.
There are people that call me J Train, but as a joke,
right?
It is gonna get weird at some point to be an 80-year-old J Train. Like, people going, "Oh,
you're gonna be Grandpapa JT."
Here's what would bother me about Mama is that, like, anytime the girl I'm with is drinking, "Mama's drinking again." Like, the choir sounds off.
Right. You can't both be Mama and Papa. That's really weird.
I was just in San Antonio, and there was I put it on Instagram stories, but it was this store that was all they sold was purple stuff. It was like called Touch of Purple or something. I was like, how does this place stay in business? It's in a mall. And they had a shirt in the window that was like, all it said was, "I'm in one of my moods." And this reminds me of it because it's like, oh, what an awful person to date. Just wearing a shirt. That's like,
and they think they're so funny, though.
And like, can you imagine how miserable you have to be that someone's like, "This shirt made me think of you."
Right.
You're always in a mood.
I had a friend who got our other friend a shirt that said "no chill," and she like never forgave her for it.
Really?
Yeah. Because she has no chill.
It's funny that she wasn't chill about being awarded the chill. This is a perfect example.
Exactly, right? If you had owned it, the shirt wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah, this now is it why does. It works. They wear a fanny pack unironically.
Like, they show up to a date in a fanny
pack.
Wait,
do you answer if red flag or deal breaker for the... I'm cool with the Mama and the Papa.
You're cool. Oh.
Mama, Papa, I'm in. Can't expect different out of myself than them. What are you thinking?
I think I'd be okay with it.
You'd be okay with
it. I think I'd be okay.
This is a dad joke.
A little bit of a red flag, but like, I think it would break the ice a little and be kind of funny, especially if they used it like in the midst of a fight. Well, Daddy's sad right now. Yeah.
Listen, Daddy had his medicine. Had too much medicine last night. I just like the thought of doing it on a date to test someone out.
You should try it.
If I was on a date and just going, and then all of a sudden they bring the drinks, and I just go, "Daddy's going to have his drink."
Daddy needs a cocktail.
All right, so they wear a fanny pack unironically.
I think first date, deal breaker. Third date, I'm fine.
So first date, out.
Yeah, I'd be like,
what if you guys
like, you have no concept of social, like, bless you.
Thank you.
Bless you.
I sneeze aggressively.
You're like, what if we went to a music festival first date?
Or let's say not even music festival, because who would be such a weirdo? what about going to like Brooklyn Eats, like that Brooklyn food spot?
So I'm expecting them to be a hipster?
That... But also you're walking around the whole day going from food thing. Like, if they were like, "Hey, I got a great idea. I live right near the, I can't remember the name of it. There's a spot in Brooklyn where they just put out a bunch of..."
Smorgasburg?
Smorgasburg. Let's go to Smorgasburg for the day. And now they show up fanny pack.
I'm not into it. But first date?
First date?
First date out. Third date in.
Okay.
Yours?
I can't believe third date you're in. Like, you've met this person, you like this person, then they're like... I guess it's time to show my real me.
Yeah. Well, then I'm like, okay, like, I already like you. I'm willing to overlook a lot of things once I already like someone.
I gotta say, I would be cool with it.
You're fine.
I'm cool with it. Funky style.
Yeah, I could see you being into that.
I'm into it. She's got her own thing.
Where she keeps her cigarettes.
Keeps her cigarettes. Oh, I mean, now you've really hit the spot for me. Right. Yeah, like, just like, that's your own thing. Like, that's, I think it works better male to female than it does female to male.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that guy might be too funky for a lot of girls.
Right.
For me, I'm like, oh, that's... She's got her own style. Also, my dad carried around a purse for a long time.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you mean?
He still does.
It's
like
a purse?
He has like we used to call it the football. It's like a little black leather satchel.
Nice.
So he would carry that around all the time. So like, it's not so...
I can't decide if that's like super manly almost because it's so not. It's like
the first like iteration
not
of
not giving a shit is like pretty masculine yeah, that quality. Is.
Well, the first iteration of it was like a golf bag, like it was like okay. It, like it wasn't,
and then it slowly meant seeped into a purse.
Well, then it was carrying around so much that like my mom was like, "We got to get you like a nice one," and then it turned into like
a briefcase.
No,
it's a purse.
It's more purse than briefcase, but somewhere in between.
It's a merce.
It's mercy. It's not baggy at the bottom, but it's more padfolio-ish.
What if your dad just, you think the next step is he's just going to walk around with like a Louis Vuitton bag?
Well, I mean, this is, that's how nice it was. Like okay. It got to that point.
But a men's one.
A men's.
But what if he just had a real purse?
If he was carrying like clutch or over the shoulder?
Chanel bag.
And it's over the shoulder, or he's holding.
He's holding it as a clutch.
I'd be cool with it.
You're fine with it.
That would be. That's closer to what's going on than not.
That's fair.
So I'd have to say for the girl, I'm okay with it.
Okay.
She'd fit in the family.
All right. Well, they get food all over their face on a first date.
I mean, I'm someone who's said multiple times.
You like that. You like
fuck a girl who eats corn messy.
Right. You want the girl with her putting her whole mouth on the water fountain.
Yes. I want the whole thing. I want messy. I want not afraid of a mess. I'm in.
Okay.
You?
Red flag, but I'm fine with
You're
it.
You're fine with it. Yeah. But also it's cute.
All over their face? It's like above, I mean, their, it's like above their eyebrow. I mean, like, it's not just like around the mouth.
They need
like,
a mom. We talked about it. They need some help.
You're sitting there like wiping them. You instead of the two, the parents and the kids, it's like you just feeding all of them.
Yeah.
You get them a bib.
Now you're really gonna
take a good one. They have a bib.
Yeah. I'm out.
You're out for the bib.
If we're not eating lobsters.
You'd rather have her get it all over her face than wear a bib.
Yes. Absolutely. Okay. The bib, now we're the bib socially.
Says mama's hungry.
Yeah. Bib that says mama's hungry. You gotta start selling these here.
There you go.
Says ROFL and LMAO after every remotely funny thing you say, even if it's not particularly funny.
I think that would get annoying real fast.
Absolutely.
I feel like as a comedian, you'd probably be even more annoyed.
Yeah.
Because you'd be like, respect the craft, like laugh at funny things.
Or laugh or don't.
Right.
That's
ROFL
really...
is like one of the like least, it's like one of the, it's one of the most annoying things. No one's rolling on the floor laughing.
I don't know how we started this. I mean, now it's been taken over. That was like, it's interesting that the ROFL is now the crying emoji.
Yeah.
The laughing so hard I'm
that
crying.
That one's annoying too. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's annoying. It's too much.
Yeah.
I know you're not doing this.
Right. It's like, let's be real.
Yeah. Let's change this to they send you the crying emoji after everything you text. Crying, laughing so hard, I'm crying.
That would be like, that would get annoying really fast.
Because you know that that's not.
Also, like, where do we go from here? What if I say something really funny? How am I going to know you think it's funny?
It's getting your kid a Bentley.
Right?
Where do we go? Where are we here? I'm deal breaker.
I gotta earn this. You're making it too easy.
Deal breaker?
Deal breaker.
I'm out too.
That's our show.
We went long today.
A long one for you. You're welcome.
You're welcome. That, you know how you can thank us for getting you through your drive?
Review, subscribe.
That's it. Rate, review, subscribe. Make it your Instagram story. Tell a friend, tell a friend, tell a friend.
Shout it from the rooftops.
Scream it from the hills, baby. We'll be back next episode.
Bye.
Betches.